Chase, Willie, and D-Mace live on the air on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great day so far. Chase McCabe and Big Joe Dubin in for Derek Mason and Willie Donick. They are both world travelers. So JoJo hanging out with us. Nick Keiser on the ones and twos here here at our studios. JoJo, how you doing?
I'm good, man. It's good to be back. Thanks for asking me back. We had a fun day yesterday at Titans camp, and so in studio today. Looking forward to the show today. Some of the guests we got coming on, excited to talk to. I know we'll get into a lot of college football, pro football, but also high school football. It's where we have a Fairview head football coach, Chris Hughes, at 10:30 as we get ready for Friday night's re-debut of the Game Blitz. So it's always fun.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to Rick Stockstill, too, MTSU head coach.
Well, I mean, it depends on what's happening. If I can get away from the 7-on-7, then I'll call in.
I've known not to do that impression in front of him. He doesn't laugh. He doesn't like. I don't say he doesn't like it, but then I
say, he doesn't always show emotion.
Either, that's right. So then I drop to Massaro. I'm like, hey, I heard you had Rick Stockstill on earlier today. And can you get Kermit to come back on? Wait, Kermit left and went to Ole Miss, but we still think about him all the time. So if we could do that, I got my middle voices down. I don't do Rick Enso because I don't want to get the wrath of Rick Enso, one of my favorite coaches of all time. So it'll be fun today.
It was fun. I'll tell you a funny story about Rick Enso. I had when I was in high school, you know, I was the manager of both the girls and boys basketball teams.
Nice.
And I was kind of thinking about what I wanted to do, you know, and I knew I was going to middle. And Chris Hart, the FRA girls coach, said, well, I could probably get you a job at middle if you want to keep doing this.
Nice.
And I said, oh, yeah. And he goes, yeah, Coach Ensel, you know, he does a great job there. I've known Coach Ensel for years. And I said, cool. And I had never met him at this point.
Right.
And Coach Hart, who I still, you know, think the world of, could get intense at times.
Yeah.
And would scare me at times. And he looks at me and he goes, now I'll tell you this, if you think that I'm bad, just wait till your first practice.
I'll tell you this. So in 2006, I was doing sports over at Channel 2. We went down, and they used to combine the basketball and football press conference. So the season was starting for basketball, and so Rick Stockstill went through his thing, and then Enso gets up there, and nobody asked him a question. And their first game of the year was against Maryland, who was a number one team going into that season. So big guy here, you know, Tom Brokaw of local sports media with the worst question of all time. Nobody's asking a question. I'm like, I don't want the coach to stand up here and nobody asks a question. So I say, hey, coach, you know, the first game of the year against Maryland, you're probably going to lose that game. What's the point of doing this? And boy, he took me to the cleaners. What do you mean we're going to lose? We're going to win that game. We're going to fight our tails off and on and on and on. And everybody's looking at me. I'm about 6'3", right? I left that press conference about 4'5". And I went up to him afterwards and I said, look, I'm sorry. You know, he said, hey, that's what I needed. I needed people needed to know what kind of I love the question. Thank you. He goes, I didn't mean to go off. He goes, but I needed that question to let them know what kind of team we got. And they almost beat Maryland a few weeks later down at Murphy Center. So I was like, oh, man. So young sports people out there, ask the question if you want. Be prepared for the wrath, which is okay. But as long as you get some kind of response and you're not ill-mannered about it, it works.
Yeah. No doubt. And look, he's what he's done with that program, and I think he's been tremendous.
He's a good guy.
He is. I mean, they're all good guys. Yes. I mean, that's the thing. I love the sports department at MTSU. You and I were a part of a roundtable a few weeks ago with Jonathan Hutton and Chris Massaro, and I thought that was so cool because it was my first opportunity to talk to an athletic director and all the craziness that's going on.
Yeah.
In college sports.
It was. I mean, think about it. His phone rings. I bet his phone rings constantly. If you're an athletics director, your phone rings constantly over all kind of issues. But to hear his, you know, viewpoint of what's happening with the NIL and scheduling and players and the portal and, you know, getting sponsors and everything, it's quite interesting. And, of course, we're big fans of Chris Massaro anyway at MTSU. So it was good to see that kind of perspective of what's happening in the collegiate world because, man, this is unlike anything we've ever seen in the last couple of years, ever.
And it was good to – I don't know if you saw them last week when Coach Stock and Chris Massaro and everybody was over at Titans camp when they announced that they were going to retire number 20 for Kevin Byard, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that
Mayor,
was
– Mayor of Murfreesboro.
That's so. Right. You know, it's funny because you go back to Byard. He always leads back to him. Guy doesn't get invited to the combine. You know how good he was in college. And – gets drafted by the Titans. And look, you know, at the result, he just had needed an opportunity. Just needed an opportunity to get out there and prove himself, and he's done that. And that's cool, getting his jersey retired. Yeah, it was always cool to see things like that. Guys get rewarded, and he was – the buyer was genuinely excited. You know, he had no idea that was going to happen. And to get his jersey retired is really cool.
So today is a day that always makes me think of a specific Simpsons episode where Homer says, now the easiest part as a coach, the cuts. I always think of that. but I tweet that out, you know, when they get to big cut down day. This is John Robinson right now. But the NFL today, by I believe it's 4 o'clock, must be down to 85 players for each team. And teams have already come through and made some moves. The Titans releasing Brandon Lewis, Daniel Munyer, Terrell Bonds, and defensive back Michael Griffin. Not that Michael Griffin.
In the words of the great C. Montgomery Burns, who?
Exactly.
So these are guys that would not have been. But, you know, hopefully they'll, you know, latch on somebody else. As we've talked, you know, before to Tim Hasselbeck, said one time, until you get a no from all 32 teams, keep pursuing your dream.
Yeah.
Keep going. So maybe they'll land on someplace else.
Well, and I think with the, you know, the rise of the USFL, the XFL coming back, you know, some of these other leagues, I mean, your guys are getting looks that maybe they weren't going to get, you know, before, because they can actually play in competitive games. It's not an exact science, but, you know, Tim was a product of NFL Europe. And unfortunately, Tim can't join us today. He's got some college football dudes.
I'm reading this from Titans 24/7 Twitter account. Mm-hmm. But it said, Bucks head coach Todd Bowles informed the media in Tampa Bay that Julio Jones and Mike Evans will not be in Nashville for the joint practices. Reminder, Tom Brady will not also be present. If I'm Vrabel, I call and say, hey, we're good. We're good. You know, we'd like to, I mean, you're taking away two guys that we need to see work against. But you guys take care of yourself.
Especially Mike Evans.
Yeah. I like to see Julio and see just how lazy he would be out of practice for these kind of
practices. Come on. Like, what is going on here with Julio? I mean, he just, like, don't want to be around Vrabel. Is that what this is?
I don't. It's a great point. That's a great point. I don't know. But no Mike Evans, so maybe no Mike. That means not in the game on Saturday, and then this just becomes – and you got to get work. There'll be other good players up here too as well. But that really, that's, you know, what else is going to happen? Who else is not going to show up?
Well, I still think it's beneficial just to go up against another team, especially that offensive line that they're trying to put together, to go up against Vita Vea and that, you know, that stout defensive line that the Bucs have. That is one of their strengths for sure. And so I still think that there's a benefit to it, but how do you think this 53-man roster is shaping up? Because you know that the GMs around the league, John Robinson has probably a dry erase board in his office that has gotten more work in the last few weeks than it ever has, trying to figure out this 53-man roster. And with the caveat of they're probably going to carry three quarterbacks, which is going to take a spot from another position group that they've been able to use in years past.
I think that's a good point, and I think that they know. I mean, they know if they don't know who their starters are right now, then there's a problem. But they know who everybody's going to plug in there. I mean, if we talk about Raidens and Petit Frere at right tackle, they know. They know who's going to start there, right? They just want to see some guy separate.
I don't think they do know.
And maybe one guy play his way out of it and while the other guy steps up. I mean, I see that right there. But as we talked yesterday, you know, doing the AP Top 25, the first 15 are easy.
Yep.
The last 10 would take me an hour and a half to figure out what to do. I think the same thing is here. Is, you know, you talk about special teams. We brought this up last week, why special teams are so important for these young guys. Mike Vrabel's first 4 years in the National Football League, he played in 51 games. How many of those games, Chase McCabe, did Mike Vrabel start for the Steelers? He was there from 97 to 2000. Zero.
Yeah, because he was special teams.
Special teams. So when he's telling these guys special teams, he knows what he's talking about. Yeah. And that's how you make this football team. So outside the starters, you guys are on the cusp. How can you contribute to special teams? That's going to be the deciding factor. And right now, I don't know who separated themselves on special teams, but we'll know in 2 weeks, right?
Well, and the other thing, too, is with special teams, I think that is an area that really needed to be addressed by this team this year. I mean, because special teams have honestly been lacking. And special teams goes beyond just the kicking game and the punting game. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. And you can tell from what you just said Mike Vrabel has a soft spot for special teams.
He does.
And it's an emphasis for him. I mean, Jeff Fisher was the same way. Because, you know, he was a special teamer.
He punt returner. Yep. Yeah, give me that ball back and I run it back.
And Bill Cowher broke his leg.
Bill Cowher broke his leg. He did do that. But here's what I about special teams, which I hate when people say this. Well, it's a third part of the game. It's a part of the game. It's not equally as important as offense and defense. It's not. I mean, you don't get 30 special teams reps like you do 30 offensive snaps or 60, whatever it is. But it's still important to have guys out there who are going to play, because we've seen special teams for the Titans in the years past just awful, just awful. And it does make a difference.
We have a texter on our text line that says, shocking that Julio isn't going to show up, clown. So it begins.
Yes. That is a I'm kind of surprised by that. But then more I think about it, maybe not, because – he's coming back here. He knows. I mean, if that's in his mind.
I mean, was he even going to play in the preseason? I mean, because Wes in Clarksville says, is he just missing practice or is he going to be here for the game? No, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be like Brady, and they're just not going to be here at all.
Yeah. I would like to see Mike Evans, though, because he's a big dude.
He is. And I think that would be beneficial for these young corners. Like, you know, Roger McCreary, who we talked to on the show yesterday, to go. To me, there is nothing more valuable than being a young player and you got to match up against a veteran that, you know, at this point in their career has forgotten more about football than you'll ever know.
Right. And it would be fun during, because those joint practices, I mean, it's not life or death, right? I mean, you can see who can do some work, who gets the job done out there. It'd have been fun to see Mike Evans go get some of these defensive backs. But now we're not going to talk about things that aren't happening.
Coming up next, I have created my first 53-man roster. We'll go through some of the highlights. Chris Hughes, Fairview head coach, going to join us at the bottom of the hour as we preview some high school football, which comes back in just a few days, this Friday night. We'll do that coming up. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Okay, it's time for the easiest part of any coach's job, the cuts.
Thank you, Homer. Back here, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Nick Kieser, man, that was good. I love that episode.
So we've got a little discrepancy here, right?
We do. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you. So Jenna Lane, who covers the Bucks for ESPN, put out while we were in the commercial break, correction, Julio Jones is practicing in Tennessee per Coach Bowles. Russell Gage is not.
So he said earlier that Julio's not making the trip.
And or then, somebody got it wrong.
Or somebody got it wrong. So what do we know?
We know that Mike Evans is not,
okay,
according to reports, but Julio Jones is.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see who shows up there. I mean, they got to have a flap here later today as the joint practices are Wednesday and Thursday versus the Titans over at St. Thomas Sports
Park. We'll be there.
For sure. We will be there.
It'll be look, like I said yesterday, and I like – I mean, Julio is not the same Julio, but I do think it's a storyline because – you know, how is he going to interact with – is he going to say anything to Vrabel? How is he going to interact with the players? You know, he was here last year. And these young corners can go up against, you know, him in practice and go up – you know, Godwin's coming back from the ACL. Jenna Lane reported wide receiver Chris Godwin took part in 7-on-7s today for the first time since undergoing ACL surgery. He caught a short pass from Blaine Gabbert and ran it in for a touchdown. Prior to today, he was only doing positional drills. So Godwin working his way back. But that's the thing. They're not going to face Mike Evans or Chris Godwin. It looks like they're going to get Julio. But
so Chris Godwin's not coming?
Well, I think he's coming, but he's just doing 7-on-7.
Okay.
So maybe they'll see a little bit. But
so this is going to be truly like mostly number twos getting their opportunity to show off.
Basically.
Okay.
You know. But you can take something away from that.
Oh, I do. I mean, maybe the ones versus ones on the offensive defensive line will go at each
other.
That's
honestly really what I care about the most for the Titans. And the some of these young receivers going up against, you know, their DBs.
Yeah, and then we will see Tannehill, hopefully, against, you know, the 1-on-1s and the 7-on-7 drills and all that goes on yesterday. That'll go on the next 2 days, and then they'll put that aside next week, and the Cardinals roll into town. So they got four. So these rookies got four good chances,
yep,
plus two preseason games. So if you're a rookie, you like this because normally you just have practice, 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 preseason game, practice, 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 preseason game. But now you get to go into the other teams, see what you can do, and stand out. It's now on their plate to make this team.
Yeah, it is. And speaking of, you know, I kind of went through yesterday and, you know, I've talked to Rex Rhode and other people about, okay, who do you have TD? Like, do you have this guy here? I think the hardest position group for me was the offensive line as a whole, because you got to have the backups, and, you know, they typically like to keep guys that could play more than one position on the offensive line. I know not everybody's Bruce Matthews anymore that could play every position on the offensive line, but, you know, you got guys like Aaron Brewer, who I believe is going to be the starting left guard. He can play center. So having that versatility, and vice versa, Ben Jones can slide over to guard too. Radens and Nick Petit-Frere, I have still tied for that right tackle position, but obviously they both make the team. Jamarco Jones, I have Corey Levin making the team, and McKenzie as well. But Levin, to me, I think with Munyer being done, I think Levin has an opportunity because, again, he has that versatility, can play both guard and center.
Chattanooga boy, too. So he went to play at Chattanooga. I mean, I do, and if we spend a lot of time during the season talking about backup offensive linemen, again, it's a sign that it's a year not that is going well for this football team. Like, if we're talking a lot, Logan Woodside and Malik Willis 6 weeks from now, it's been a bad start for the season for the Titans. But I mean, look, these guys, they know. I mean, they want these guys to play these battles out. That's why they want Radens to either be the guy or not the guy immediately and prove it to him that he can't do it or can do it. And then shove Petit-Frere in there. But you got a good left tackle in Lawan. You got a good center in Ben Jones. Nate Davis is coming to his own since coming here from Charlotte. So there's two spots. If they feel comfortable with Aaron Brewer at left guard, and then if the right tackle job plays it safe out. Now, you said the right tackle's not on the team.
Potentially. But, I mean, I'm going with the pieces that I have right now.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, I think that he probably isn't at this point.
Yeah, that's interesting. And again, you hope they'd this thing would work. It had already worked itself out, but that's why you got training camp. That's why you got these practices and these preseason games so you can figure out who is your number one guy once the season starts.
I mean, I could totally see, you know, a veteran right tackle gets cut and is sitting out there that, you know, maybe played in a similar offense that they would scoop him up.
Yeah, you know,
like
you're right.
If Dennis Kelly, for instance, like doesn't make a team and he's sitting out there, I mean, why wouldn't you? You know him. He knows you. His brother is the passing game coordinator now.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. That'll be Kelly's ninth time coming back to the team or
probably.
Something like that.
Undertaker.
It's cut because he's a giant of a man.
Oh, he's awesome.
Remember who he was traded here for?
Yes, I do. Dorial Green-Beckham.
What a great, awful pick that was by the Titans.
So yesterday would have been the sixth anniversary of Jared and the GM.
Okay.
And I believe it was that first episode that Floyd is doing his evaluation of the Titans roster, and they get to Dorial Green-Beckham, and he just annihilates him.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, this I'd cut him. Basically is what he'd said. And then he got traded the next day.
Somebody's listening.
So Jared's looking at him like, did you just get him traded? Floyd's just laughing.
And they bring in Dennis Kelly. You're like, what? Another what offensive lineman.
One of John Robinson's better moves.
Oh, absolutely it was. You know, when Robinson takes over, I mean, he's looking at this team and seeing what we could do because, you know, the 2015 team was awful. 3-13. Rustin Webster should have worn a ski mask to work because he was stealing money from the Titans over there. I mean, it was just terrible.
I know.
But that draft, I'll pull up right now. The draft 2015, yeah, Mariota obviously went second. Dorial Green-Beckham was your second pick. Jeremiah Putasi, the offensive lineman from Utah, who was just terrible.
I forgot about him.
I mean, he was so bad. And that's your first three picks of your draft that you're trying to get in here.
He was a third round pick.
Yeah. And make something happen. Then you had Jalston Fowler, the running back from Alabama. David Cobb. This is one of the worst drafts ever. Then Angelo Blackson from Auburn was okay. He had potential.
Right.
Nothing. Fowler from Bama. David Cobb, running back from Minnesota.
Oh.
Deontrez Mount, the edge rusher from Louisville, terrible. Oh. Andy Gallick, the center from Boston College.
Don't remember him.
And Trey McBride, the wide receiver from William & Mary.
I remember him, but he didn't do anything either.
So you come in, and then you look at Robinson's like, all right, let's look at what happened last year in the draft, what I got to work with. Then he sees those guys. He's like, oh, my goodness. And then
the year before, I mean, here's the thing. They fire Floyd Reese after the 06 season. Mike Reinfeldt comes in as the general manager. They basically demote him 2 years later, I think it was, maybe a little longer than that, give him some BS title and then eventually fire him,
right?
And then bring in Rustin Webster. Just two awful hires.
It was. I was at a Vanderbilt football game in the press box, and the guy's next to me, and I'm looking at my computer, and guy's like, "Hey, is this seat taken?" I'm like, "Oh, no, I didn't look up." I was like, "No, go ahead." And he's like, "Hey, how things going?" I look over, and it's Rustin Webster. I'm like, it's like 3 years ago. I'm like, "Hey, I guess he's with the Falcons, was doing something for them then."
Yeah, I don't know.
And I was like, "Yeah, man, and how's it going?" What do you say to a guy who couldn't draft anybody? So this is the 2014 draft, all right? We just told you about the 2000, this draft. All right, so you got Lawan at one, all right? Left tackle, not fantastic, bad. Right? When he puts his head together, he's great on the field. I mean, fantastic. Round two was Bishop Sankey. And I remember them saying Sankey wasn't the guy on their radar, but they went to the Senior Bowl, and he was able to pick up the blitz good on as a running back, pass protection. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, that's – probably not the strongest suit from somebody that could happen there.
And 14 would have been Wiz's first year, right?
That's right. Yeah. So Daquan Jones, Penn State, was not bad.
No, that's a good pick.
Marqueston Huff, defensive back, Wyoming. Avery Williamson. Well, he was okay here. Then
Avery
left
was good.
Get the money for the Jets. Zach Mettenberger was your quarterback there in the sixth round. Yeah. So, I mean, you look and you're like, why are the Titans so bad for years? Well, you go back to the draft. I mean, these drafts were terrible that they had.
Oh, they were awful.
Really bad.
Where was Bleedy Ray Wilson? Was he like 13?
I've tried to get him out of my mind, Chase, but thanks for asking.
Well, I remember Pogue used to call him a jazz singer.
He was terrible. So, all right, so real quick, don't get the break. So, you talk about the draft, how important it is. So, you go to the 2016 draft, John Robinson's first draft, and just a different chain. I mean, Jack Conklin. Who I love Jack Conklin, right? I wish he would have stayed in there. Dodd was a bust. Then you got Austin Johnson. It was okay, you know. Then you got Derrick Henry. Then you got Kevin Byard. And you're starting to see things that are happening. Tajay Sharpe and his mixtape, who he did okay. Well, I remember him, Kuharski, went back and forth on his mixtape, which was great. LaShawn Sims, don't remember that guy at all. Sebastian Triatola from Arkansas. He was funny, but
he got some off the field.
Yeah, he did. Aaron
I have a
Wallace.
Selfie with him.
Do you really?
Yeah, Rick and I were out on Midtown, and he walked by.
Aaron Wallace, linebacker, and then Kalen Reed, cornerback, Southern Miss in the late rounds there. But you got a couple guys who are Byard.
Reed was okay. I remember him as kind of a late round pick.
That's why the draft is such an inexact science, man. That you never know what's happening.
I know, and honestly, I think it's got to play out this year, but I think this could turn out, if everything works the way it's supposed to be one of John Robinson's better drafts in his tenure here.
Yep.
You know, last year he didn't really get much out of that draft class because of injury, but still trying to let it all play out. But 2019 is probably his best one to this point, and then you mentioned the first one in 16. That was pretty good as well. I mean, but like you said, it's an inexact science.
It is.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to Chris Hughes, Fairview head coach, as we talk some high school football and get ready for the Game Blitz re-debut on Friday. That's coming up next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase William, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin here with you. And coming up Friday night, 6 o'clock, the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz re-debuts on these airwaves with Big Joe and Elijah Campbell. Looking forward to that. And they'll be talking about all the games going on around the Mid-State, including Fairview taking on Page. And we say hello to Chris Hughes, the head coach of the Fairview Yellow Jackets. Coach, it's been a while. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's good to talk some high school football, and you guys are going to kick things off Friday night with a dandy against Page. How you feeling about it?
Rathbone and I both hate that we start the year off with that big game, but the atmosphere at the school this week has been crazy. I feel good about it. It's going to be, you know, they have to come to us for the first time in 3 years. Our field wasn't ready. We had to go there again 2 years in a row, so this will be the first time we've had them at home. And our crowd is excited. Our city's excited. It'll be a great Friday night lights.
So I know that you're hoping to celebrate a victory at Snappy's Pizza. We always talk to you on Friday nights.
News for Joe. Look, this is big news. Snappy's is not doing fifth quarter anymore, so then Jefferson's Restaurant is going to reshow the game and stay open until midnight, and when you get done with the game, you can go to Jefferson's and watch it this year.
Okay.
But Snappy's Pizza is still awesome. I love Snappy's Pizza. We get Snappy's before the game, but not after.
I love it, the fact that you're preparing your team and also promoting a restaurant in Fairview at the same time, Coach. That's talent.
Yeah.
NIL. You
know, they're providing the meal for us on Friday if I mention them on the radio today.
Well done with all that. Talking to Chris Hughes, head football coach at Fairview High School. All right, Friday night, I mean, you've been through – how long have you been at Fairview now as a head coach?
14 years at the high school, 10 at the middle school before that.
Goodness, 14 years. What is it about? Do you still get nerves, anxious butterflies before the first game on a Friday night?
I get nerves and butterflies at practice sometimes. I'm conscious. I'm a high-energy guy, Joe, so I'm always on the edge. But Friday night's going to be something different. It'll give you goosebumps at the national anthem. You'll have that feeling at the coin toss, all of those things. But once that whistle blows, it'll be all business. So we'll get at it after Paige, and then shake hands after the game. It's a big rival for us, but, you know, with them being 5A and us 3A, it doesn't affect either one of us in the long run of things, but it sure would be good to get a W right off the bat, and I'm sure they're thinking the same thing.
All right, Coach, is this the first game on the brand-new field?
It is not. It is not. We managed to get us some good games in last year. We played four games on the home field, and we are excited to host our first one with Paige on that field, but our field looks immaculate right now, Joe. We have the best facilities. I'm telling you, Fairview's a good secret. I don't like it getting out, but we have we have everything you could want of. We're very fortunate, blessed, and we're excited. And the guys have worked extremely hard this year. And another thing about Fairview is I'm coaching some of the best kids in the state. These are good kids, good character kids, good grade kids. I joke sometimes it's hard to win with the beta club, but it sure is fun to coach.
We're talking to Chris Hughes, head coach at Fairview. And what does it say about the commitment of the school, of the county, to fix up a lot of these stadiums, give you a state-of-the-art field that, you know, these kids and you can be proud of?
Yeah, and it just keeps growing. Our athletic director for the county, Darren Joins, and you know Ricky Jones, our athletic director, they're constantly looking at ways to upgrade facilities across the county. They want to be on the cutting edge of academics and athletics. And it really shows. I mean, they put their money where their mouth is. And if you look around at the facilities in Williamson County, all the way from Brentwood to Fairview, you're going to see some really good facilities in every sport and in every aspect. And I tell people all the time how fortunate we are to be in that very corner of Williamson County and be able to enjoy some of that really good backing that we get from this whole county. And they're supportive. Like, Paige is going to root for us on our other games, and we're going to root for them on their games. But this week, we're going to root real hard against each other. In fact, my principal won't even say their name this week. He mentioned the P word.
Oh, no. I like it. So, your schedule, you open up at home, but then you get three straight on the road, followed by a four-game homestand. I mean, how do you feel about that schedule and how it lays out? And I know coaches are going to say one game at a time, but, you know, as you look at the big picture.
I hate that schedule. We're one of those few, you know, when you do schedules, you're trying to make home and away work out best, and it's luck of the draw and other things, but that's a terrible way to do it. I'd rather go home away, like everybody. But the road contests this year are really long, Joe, so I'm worried about that with that, you know, when you got an hour and 15, hour and a half, and the Westview 2-hour drive, you know, it's hard, you know, to get those kids. Like, is it going to affect us? Are we going to have a lag? Are they going to be tired? Is it going to be too much, you know, bus time? Do I charter buses? Do I take the school buses? There's so much that goes into it, the team meal. So I hate those long road trips, but, man, that four-game homestand is going to be really nice. Not having to leave and just to stay at home for that four-week stretch and enjoy all of the things that come with that will be fun. I'm excited about our team. I feel like I've got a really good senior class, and I'm excited to see how we're going to do. Paige is always a good test because they're such a good team and well coached. We know after that game how we're going to do. Last year they beat us by 8 points, and they finished runner up in the 5A state.
Ooh.
So you know we got knocked out in the first round of the 3A. You know, the injuries, a lot of things played into that fact. But the fact is, we hung in there with one of the top dogs in 5A. This year we wanted to beat one of the top dogs in 5A.
Yeah, I was going to say that. All too often, Coach, we get lost in the 6A and 5A and how great those programs are. But, you know, you drop down. I'm talking with you, you know, in 3A. There's a lot of great football being played in the 3A, 2As, and 1As that often go overlooked. And that's kind of the point of the Game Blitz, is to kind of share that love with you guys. You see these teams every week. You know how good the football is in 3A.
It's loaded. You know, East Nashville's come along. Heck, if you get, you know, there's a joke in 3A with all of us, and I'm sure the Alcoa people know it, and even Rankin knows it, but, you know, a lot of the 3A coaches say, we're just playing for a silver ball. I said, we're not. We're playing to win that gold ball. My goal every year is to win the state championship, and I failed every year, but we're going to keep trying. As long as that's the ultimate goal, that's what we're reaching for.
I know it just happened, but were you the head coach of the girls' flag football team?
I was.
How was that? Was that a lot of fun?
Joe, it was amazing. One of the best experiences. I had the best time coaching girls. I didn't know how they would handle me. You know, I've got a little sarcasm in me. I got a little, you know, the old school in me. And those girls responded and played their butts off. We finished in the Final Four. We lost by 1 point to Ravenwood, 7-6 in the semifinal, and they won the championship by 30 points. So I feel like we were right there. We went 6-2 overall. It was a really good season. And I'm going to tell you what, we got some girl athletes in Fairview too, not just some football players.
Coach Chris Hughes is with us. And before we let you go, I'm asking all the high school coaches this, because obviously the game has changed in college football over the course of the last few years. And, you know, whether you have somebody that's, you know, going to go play at the next level, how do you kind of address that with your team of just what all is available to these players as they move to the next level that maybe wasn't there a few years ago?
Well, we've got some really good players. We've got a few that are being recruited. We've got a left tackle named Connor Ferris, who's a really good offensive lineman. We've our running back, Layton Grant, Crawford Claxton. We've got some kids being recruited, but we don't have a five-star, Joe, and a four-star. So if you're not talking about a guy that's being ranked, which I think those rankings are so overrated and blown up, and it's ridiculous, but I know some kids that didn't have a star, and I would have took them at any college in the country. But here's the thing about it. Now, with the kids I've got, I'm just trying to get the school paid for. Like, we just want to find them a place to play where they haven't got to pay out of their pocket to get their education. In the other school, and again, like if a guy's interested in aerospace, you don't want to put him in a school that doesn't have a good aerospace program. So you have to look into that stuff too. But with the NLI stuff, it is crazy. Like, I'm almost glad, Joe, I don't have to deal with those problems. Now, don't get me wrong. If you want to send me five stars, I'll be happy to go. We don't have NLIs. We got free and reduced lunch to some people, but we can't do anything else. And the thing is, and it's almost, you see it still, and it always has been in this state, kids move from school to school too. It happens all the time. You got private to public, public to private, public to public, all the time, and trying to find that niche. Well, now college has become that way. It's become a, you know what, I'm in the transfer portal. You know, kids are harder to get recruited because they can just get a kid from another school. So the NLI is making it tough on high schools too, especially with those elite players, to find that niche and hope that, okay, well, we got you, but let's hope that this guy from Georgia decides he wants to leave and he wants to come here. Then we're not going to need you. So that's a new caveat that we're looking at.
Well, Coach, best of luck on Friday against Page, and I'm sure Joe will be talking to you on the Game Blitz afterwards and throughout the season.
I can't wait, and I hope it's with a big Fairview W.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you from Jefferson.
Welcome out anytime. So.
Thanks, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Coach Chris Hughes, Fairview Yellow Jackets, joining us.
He just kind of faded off right there.
Yeah, a little bit. Always one of our favorites, yeah. And to talk to on Friday nights. Coming up next, we're going to preview some big games that you're going to see around the Mid-State coming up Friday night as the Game Blitz re-debuts. The Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz will debut at 6 o'clock on Friday. We'll do that next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Big Joe in today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You ain't nothing but a hound. The King Elvis Presley, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin in today. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Nick Keyser on the ones and twos. Appreciate Chris Hughes, Fairview Yellow Jackets head coach, for joining us. And again, Friday night, 6 o'clock, the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz will re-debut on these airwaves. Big Joe anchored coverage for years, and then I took it over, and we're glad that we're bringing it back. Elijah Campbell going to be back in the fold as well, as they will talk high school football for 6 hours on Friday nights. And starting this week, Joe, I mean, there's some good matchups. You know, Fairview Page is a marquee matchup to start the season. But, you know, as I go through and look at the schedule, we'll just hit on some games. How about Independence going to CPA?
Solid game to start the season off there with new coach at Independence, and then, you know, Ingle Martin and the team over at CPA. That's a really fun game. It should be high scoring, I think, because both those teams like to throw them. I'm getting attacked by the microphone here. That's all better now. Like to throw the football. So that's always a good game.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned new coaches. There have been some coaching moves around high school football. I feel like maybe a little more than we've seen in the past couple of years, but just some guys bouncing around.
Yeah, not only that, but, I mean, like, there's a game. Like, for example, Father Ron in East Nashville, right? For years, they played back in the day, and now they're playing again. I like the fact that you're having this private-public game that's taking place going on at East Nashville, and I love the East Nashville High School. I love the stadium over there. I love the atmosphere, the environment you get from so many years. That school did not have their own stadium. Mm-hmm. And now they've got it a few years ago. It's really cool. You look at Mount Juliet at Gallatin.
Oh, that's a big one.
A huge game to start the season off. The longtime rivals. And that's a game that makes high school football special. Both towns love it. Gallatin's going to shut down for that game on Friday night. So you're looking forward to games like that that really make high school football special and what they are. And that's a prime example of two Middle Tennessee teams playing on Friday. That's going to be really, really good.
I'm excited about one that, you know, from my alma mater, that was an old rival back in the day, Nashville Christian, going to Franklin Road Academy. Justin Geisinger taking over as the head coach at FRA. But Nashville Christian, I mean, scrappy, have been for years.
Went to the finals last year, got beat by DCA, Jeff Brothers. I've told you, he's one of the best high school football coaches ever. And that's going to be a good game, too, to start out and see how Nashville Christian, you know, comes up short in the state championship game and how well this team's adapted going to the next year. But they're all the games, again, like neighborhood game, Hunter's Lane at Maplewood, you know. I know these kids in Metro need our love. I mean, they need the support. The Glencliff and the Maplewood and the Whites Creek and the Hillwood and the Hillsboroughs. I mean, they need our support in Overton and McGavick. You know, Chaser, that I'm a Nashville guy. I'm a Metro product of Metro football. And I'd love supporting these guys, supporting these teams, and see what they can do. And it's really good. So if we can get out and support these kids in our backyards, they'd love to see you. They'd love to have the stands full and cheer for them, which is good. Now, we got a game, two good games on Thursday night. Hendersonville at Oakland, which is, you know, Oakland repeating state champion. Hendersonville had a great season last year, too. Fell short in the 6A finals to Summit. Lost that game at home. And then Cane Ridge at Pearl Cone. I mean, some of the best athletes you're going to see in the state of Tennessee win that game on the field on Thursday night. So if you wanted to catch a little action ahead of time, there you go. Go to Oakland and go to Pearl Cone to see those teams in action.
And I like the Thursday night game. I mean, every team is going to have a Thursday night game for the most part because of scheduling.
And referees.
And referees.
Yeah, the shortage of referees. Hopefully that gets rectified and taken care of going forward. That's not a problem anymore. But other game, I have told people before, it's like, give me an underrated place to go watch a high school football game. I'm always saying, go to Trousdale County. And that stadium's on the creek. It's packed. Everybody turns out for that. They take on Friendship Christian Friday night. And once the smoke from the concession stand gets in the air, it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful up there to watch a game at Trousdale County. So here's the deal. Wherever you go, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with high school football supporting these teams. Whites Creek at Stratford, another Metro game. Get out and see those. Whatever you do Friday night, you'll make the right decision as long as you go support these kids.
Yeah, some of my favorite memories from high school, whether it was football or basketball, this is before FRA had gone to Division II. And so it was, you know, there was only one level of Division II. They were still D1, like single A, maybe double A. And we would go to some of these small schools, you know, in these small towns, and they were fantastic because the town was shut down.
Yes, that's what it's about.
And like, I mean, Coach used to joke, like, you go rob a bank right now because everybody's at a football game.
Right. Nobody's going to be around. They're going to be at the football game. Perfect. That's a great point. Another game real quick on Thursday, Cookeville at Upperman. If you're over there in middle eastern Tennessee, that's another game you talk about where the town shuts down. Everybody shows up. Upperman's got a great program, the Upperman Bees. So that'll be fun. If you're up that way, you want to catch in a game, make sure you stop by and see that.
You know, you mentioned Metro, JP2 going to Hillsboro. Hillsboro just built a new stadium. I think it was last year it opened up. I've been to some games over there, both in the old place and the new place. And just, I agree with you, supporting Metro schools, I think, is vitally important. Whether you went to a Metro school or not, I mean, I just think it's very, very important to support those schools and watch them grow.
I totally agree. Look, I know four guys who live by Stratford. They're not from here. They all live over there, and they go to every Stratford football game. And I was like, I love it. And they're like, look, we want to support these kids in our backyard. And so we go down there and do it. We did not go to Stratford. We don't really know many people that went to Stratford, but we still go to these games because we're supporting the community. Same with Pope John Paul Hill. I mean, that stadium in Hillsboro, the old one, was awful. And these kids deserve a chance to play with good fields, good equipment, people in the stands. They deserve this. I mean, this is, you know, 99.99% of these kids aren't going to go to college to play football or to the NFL, but it's a Friday night memory they're going to take with them. So go out and support them in all these games that are happening on Friday and Thursday. Just go to one. Pick one out and go. You don't have to be a fan. Just go and support. They'd love to see you, man. I know I've seen it for years growing up here, playing football here. And seeing all this stuff, like, you know, like a program like Glencliff, right? They haven't won a game in forever. I hope they go 10-0 and end up winning the state championship. That'd be great. That would be great for football and for these kids. I hope to get out there and support this team this year. So it's always good. Friday night, first game of high school football. Nothing better, man. Nothing better.
So I'll say this, you know, and I've said this to him before. Kevin Creasy, friend of the show, Oakland Patriots head coach. They're the standard. And they have been for a long time. You know, even going back to, I think it was Tommy McDaniel. Was coaching there.
2008. I
mean, they have been the standard in 6A in Middle Tennessee. But are there some teams that kind of stand out to you that might be able to dethrone them in 6A?
Oh, it's tough, man.
I mean, Maryville, you always got to deal with Maryville in East Tennessee.
Yeah, you do. Until somebody can knock them off, not really. I mean, look, with the division they play down in Murfreesboro, they could take on Riverdale, Blackman.
Riverdale last year was a really good team.
And they're going to be really good this year. So in your backyard, I mean, so you got teams, and Siegel's going to be there. Siegel's prone to knock these teams off at any Friday night. So, yeah, there's the competition. You'll get there. You know, talking to Creasy, he's had to go out of state to find games to play. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to play him.
Yeah, I know.
And who do we had on last week? Brian Coleman at Summit.
Yep.
He's like, I got to go find – nobody wants to play us. You know, non-district games. We got to go out of state and find teams, and hopefully we get a team that'll come in here and play us, or we'll go on the road and play whomever. But it's got to the next level. Well, if I'm a high school coach, I want the challenge. Because we talked about, you know, we'll bring this up with Rick Stocks at 1 o'clock about Bobby Bowden, how nobody wanted to play Florida State. And Bobby Bowden's, all right, I'll come to you. I'll come play you wherever you want. We'll take on any challenge. And I love this about Bowden real quick. When he would beat a team on the road, they'd take a square of grass and take it back to Tallahassee and plant it. Like, all right, that's the grass we got when we beat Nebraska or beat Oklahoma. But if I'm a high school coach, I'd want to play Oakland. I want to send my guys in to take on Oakland. That'd be fun. That's why last year when Dilfer and Oakland, when the game's canceled and we're going to play each other, Lipscomb Academy and Oakland, loved it.
Yes.
Loved that game. I love the fact that you see these two teams who are not going to play each other got together and played. And what an incredible game it was. Oakland winning in there in the last minute, stopping Lipscomb Academy. A lot of fun. So hope to see more of that this year with high school football.
Well, I'll tell you this. Thursday, October 6th, we might have to take a field trip over to CPA because Oakland is coming to take on CPA. And then the next week, Oakland's got to play Riverdale.
Oof. But you know what? You won't hear those coaches complaining.
No.
They love it.
Not at all. So the Game Blitz, the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, will re-debut Friday night at 6 o'clock. Big Joe Dubin, Elijah Campbell. Looking forward to that. Coming up next, a fun topic that we need your participation in, 615-737-1025. If you're being recruited right now, who's a college football coach that you would love to play for? Could be any coach, any division, doesn't matter. We'll have some fun with this Coming up next, 615-737-1025. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.